Let's learn today the topic. Topic today is tzedakah, giving tzedakah. There are a lot of different subcategories of tzedakah. So we'll try to go through different elements, different parts of this mitzvah. I have it here in my notes. I want to make sure I do it the right way. Here it is. Okay. This week is a very important week for tzedakah because it says in the pasuk aser te'aser. Now these words literally mean it's a command that you shall tithe your grain, your produce. Person, Eretz Yisrael is an agricultural society, agricultural economy. Everyone has land, everyone farms, and you plant grain, whether it's wheat, barley, vegetables, fruits, agriculture. This is the economy of Eretz Yisrael, and the way the Torah presents it is certainly all surrounds the earth.
It wasn't high tech.
No, there was no startups, no high tech. They were not into building railroads or investing in coal and things like that. And certainly there was no one going to Mars, no space industry. Okay, it was a very simple society.
Aser mitzvah. I thought it's just a minhag that we give maser today of our monies.
Oh, so we're coming to this one moment, one thing at a time. Let's just first get the very, very basics. Very basics. Aser with a sin, right? There's a shin and a sin. Aser to aser. This is a commandment. The Torah says if you have land and the land produces grain, wheat, and the season is over, make sure I command you that you take off 10%. Ma'aser is defined as 10%, and eser comes from the word eser, which is 10. Aser, go into your silo after you've harvested your crop. Now there's another mitzvah of giving truma. That we're not even discussing. That's another mitzvah. Truma min haTorah is a mashu. The smallest amount is yoytze the mitzvah. You give the kohen this teeny amount, you yoytze the mitzvah of truma. The custom is to give the kohen 1/50th of what you harvest. 1/50th. If you want to be very generous, you can give 1/40th. If you want to be a miser, you can give 1/60th. But the common custom was to give 1/50th. But min haTorah, even giving the kohen one stalk, one granule, you yoytze the mitzvah. And that's why Chazal say of an Am HaAretz, you could assume the Am HaAretz gave truma. It's not worth it for him to be nichshol in the Avera of Tevel, which is a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim, over a nickel or even a penny. So you can assume for sure that even Am HaAretz will give the kohen here is a... I'll put in the pushka. They have a pushka in the shul. You put in kernels of wheat. A special pushka to put in kernels of wheat for the Ami Haratzim who do not want to give 1/50th. They just want to give a mashu, so there should not be nichshol in Tevel. Okay, so we have over here the mitzvah of aser te aser. Why is it written b'lushon twice? That's not important for now. You can say Ledibra Hatara Ella Kilashoin Bine Adam. Is it an expression? Aser to aser. Posech Tiftach, you have many examples in Shemoya Tishma. It's an expression, it's the way the Torah writes. It writes in the double expression. And remember, it's spelled with a sin. Eser. Eser means 10. And in this context, it means 10%. Now I jumped the gun. First you give Teruma. Teruma is a mashu. But then it comes to Maaser. So we know there's a 7-year cycle. The first 2 years you give Maaser, every year you give Maaser Rishon. You give 10% to the Levi. 10% goes to the Levi. It's a lot. 10% is quite a bit. And then you give Maaser, either Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani, another 10%. So you're really giving away almost 20%. Not exactly. You're giving away quite first. Give truma, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. And when the Levi gets his Maaser Rishon, the Levi has to give 10% of what he receives to the Kohen as Terumas Maaser. The Yisrael gives a very small amount of truma, but the Levi gives 10% of what he receives as a gift of Maaser Rishon. He gives that to the Kohen as Trumas Maaser. And again, you have to also give Maaser Sheni, which means you have to separate and bring it up to Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim, or every third and sixth year you give Maaser Oni. Okay, so this is the basic. We're not going through all the halachas now, but that's just the basic halacha. Aser to aser, don't forget to give Maaser, which is 10%. Eser with a sin. Along come Chazal, and they make a drasha, and they say the reason why it says it twice, aser to aser, is to give you a special halacha. Aser b'shvil she'tis asher with a shin in oshir. A rich man, how do you spell Oshir? The same letters. Ayin, Shin, Resh. But it's not Shin, Resh. Not Sin. Eser is 10. Oshir is a rich man. And Chazal make a drasha. Aser, with a sin. Make sure you give your 10% to the Levi. So that, Bishvil, Shetis, Asher. So that you will become a rich man. You will become super duper wealthy. A bracha. And ad kedei kach, Chazal tell us, this is an entire the whole story in the Gemara, where this is the only thing in the entire Torah you're allowed to challenge Hashem. You're allowed to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen Hashem, I'm going to give 10%. I'm going to test you. In my lifetime, I'm going to test to see if you're going to give me back more than 10%. I'm going to give 10%. I'm going to have cheshbon. I'm going to write down in my account, bring in my accountant, bring down, you know, all of the record keepers, and we're going to see. I don't know what the time limit is. I don't know when if it's next year or 3 years, 5 years during your lifetime. Let's see if you pay me back, Hashem, more than what I have given you. You're allowed to. Uvichonuni no bezois yoimar Hashem im loy eftach lechem veharikoisi lechem brocha ad beli dai. It's a beferish apostle. You'll ask the question, how could you do that? But it says explicitly in the Torah, loy sinasu es Hashem elokechem kasher nisisim bamaso. You're not allowed to test Hashem. It's an explicit apostle. So the answer is, this is the exception. This is the exception. The Gemara talks about a very interesting story. The story was with Rabbi Yochanan. It's very interesting. Rabbi Yochanan, who was his chavrusa? Reish Lakish. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, if you chozer b'shuva, you can marry my sister. Try that today. Okay, today you go over to a guy in the street. A guy in the street, go into a treifa pizza store, go into a treifa bar, and you see, are you Jewish? Yeah, I'm Jewish. My grandmother was Jewish, you know. Yeah. I don't know from anything. You know, if you chozer b'shuva, you can marry my sister. He'll say, I'm not interested in your sister. And you go say to your sister, I got a shidduch for you. I'm not interested in him. Right? It's not going to exactly work.
He said that she's prettier than me.
Oh, so you tell the guy, try that today. You know, she's gorgeous. I'm still not interested. And you tell your sister, I'm not interested in him no matter what. So I don't know exactly how this works. It was a different world in those days. And Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish was the head of the mafia. Okay, can you imagine telling your sister, I got for you the head of the mafia. Okay, the head of the mafia will be your husband. It's not going to work today, but somehow it was a different world, which was really impossible to even scratch the surface of the way the world operated in those days. But Rabbi Yochanan, he took Reish Lakish as his brother-in-law and as a chavrusa, and they spent their whole lives learning together. And in fact, at Kedekachta, when Reish Lakish died, Rabbi Yochanan lost his mind. He literally lost his mind, and he died. They had to be mispalel that he should die because he lost his mind. He could not live without Reish Lakish, his brother-in-law. Now, this is very interesting. It says over here that Reish Yochanan, he found Liyinuka de Reish Lakish. That's where the Gemara starts. Gemara Mesechtainis. You look at it many times, especially when I learn Gemara, I almost never pay attention to the names. Because to me, the names mean nothing. And lately, Luis, I started getting a little bit curious. Who are these people? And it opens up a world literally worlds and worlds like you've never seen before when you learn a Gemara and you know who you're talking about. Okay, all the years you learn a Gemara, Yeshiva, learn Daf Yomi, the names mean mamish nothing to me. You read a name, Rav, Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, Rav Shlokish, Rav Chaziva, Rav Yochanan, Ben Gududya, this one, that one, all right. You know, you could if you would interchange the names, it wouldn't make a dent in me. You learn the halachas, the halachas. Who's the person? I don't know who the person was. Believe me, when you know who the person is and you read their profile and you see what they posted on their Facebook page and you know who these people are, their background, wow. The whole page Gemara is a different, different world. Different world beyond belief. It's a chaval that in yeshiva, you know, they never did this. The Abramson does that. That's a beautiful thing that the Daf Yomi did now. The old Daf. If you go to the OU put in probably millions of dollars into this. The Aguda should have been doing this. The Chaval, they didn't do this. The Aguda. But the OU did this. Awesome. It's not to be believed what they did, the OU. And you know what's the biggest, most amazing thing? They don't take any credit for themselves, the OU. They take no credit. They don't think, can you imagine? Rav Steinsaltz, true. You should know a lot of the stuff on this comes from Rav Steinsaltz, okay? Okay, a lot of you're right. Rav Steinsaltz, they took from Rav Steinsaltz into...
That's why that doesn't do it, because they're afraid
of... So that's a Narisha thing. Come on, that's a Kleina. That's not the reason why they didn't do it. They didn't do it was because they were afraid of the internet.
So what did they do?
So they made a website and an app called All Daf. This is already going on for 2 years. 2 years. All Daf, and they have there a variety of Magide Shir. It's the spectrum. You want Yeshivish, you have Reb Shruli Borenstein. He's like now the Gadol Hadar for Daf Yomi. Reb Shruli Borenstein, Reb Shruli, everywhere I go, Reb Shruli, the Yehud Shruli said, Shruli, Shruli. There are two Shrulis in Klal Yisrael. There's Shruli Reisman and the Shruli Borenstein. Misruli at Shruli, Loikom Kisruli. They've taken over the world, these two Shrulis. Now, then if you want more modern, I don't remember, they have a whole spectrum of Magide Shiur, of Daf Yomi, appealing to different communities, to different, some people like a Hasid, they have Yiddish, they have Yiddish also, they have a more modern, right, Elephant, he's not mad, he's from the OU, or the OU, right, Elephant, different styles. Okay, Borenstein is a more of like a yeshivisha, a whole spectrum. It's beyond belief. A lot of technology. Technology is super duper over the top technology. They've invested in this enormous amount of money. What it takes to keep this going, it's just not to be believed. And they also have other things, some very beautiful things, including. All Daf. All DAF, correct. They have an app, .com. They have an app. They have an app. It's an app. Just go to the OU.org. OU.org. It will strike you in the face. All Daf. And the one I'm getting over is Henry Abramson. Can't even pronounce his name. Henry Abramson. Abramson. He is an Eloi. Okay, is he a Rav? He's a doctor. He's a professor. He has a doctorate. He's no question. Does only of Turo? And I think he's even Turo. Okay, is he a Rav? Yes, Smicha. He's a Rav also. I don't know, but he's a genius. He's a genius. He's a Bor She'ein Ma'abed Tipa. He knows everything.
And Doctor Henry Abramson.
Correct. And he's a genius. He really listens, and he gives every single day for 3 minutes. For 3 minutes, he gives a background.
Today it's 4 minutes.
Background, 4 minutes. Background, you listen to them in one shot. You can listen to like 50 daf in one shot. He gives you background. A lot of the stuff he says, I think he takes some Steinsaltz, you're right. I think he takes some Steinsaltz, maybe not. But he knows all this stuff inside, and he tells you who was Rabbi Yochanan, who was Reish Lakish, and he tells you when the Gemara quotes a city. He gives you the historical background to little pieces. He selects something. He selects something you can listen to for an hour. You can listen to 50 times. You know, you go, the whole thing is, each one is 2-3 minutes. You just do it in one shot, 2-3 minutes, and it's really remarkable. Remarkable, the tidbits, and even these little things that he says really changes your appreciation. Now, that's not why I'm talking about people getting very sidetracked, but over here, I just can't hold back. Ashrei Rabbi Yochanan li'inuku de Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan came across a child of Reish Lakish, which means it was his nephew. It's his nephew. Because if Reish Lakish married Rabbi Yochanan's sister, Rabbi Shlokesh married Yochanan's sister, and they had a child. So that means the child is the nephew of Rabbi Yochanan. What was the circumstances? There has to be more to this story. Something over here about the story doesn't make sense. There's something going on over here in the story. And he says to his nephew, "What did you learn today?" Psoikli pisukeich. Psoikli pisukeich means, "What did you learn today? I want to hear what you learned." That was a method in Chazal of nevuah. Just like we have, there was the Nevi'im, and then there was a Bas Koil that came out of Shemayim. If a person wanted to ask Hashem, "I have a dilemma, what should I do today? I have 2 job offers. Should I do this? Should I not do this? I don't know what to do." So you know what you would do? So in time of Chazal, you would go to the Kohen Gadol, and you would ask him, a Navi. Or you would go to the Kohen Gadol, and you would ask the question in front of the Urim V'tumim, and it would light up. Or you would, if there was a basko, you would be mispalo, there would be a basko. Or maybe it would come to you in a dream. The Balach Haloim will come to you and tell you when in Shemayim they advise for you. There's another technique. No problem. You walk down the street, the first child you see, what did you learn today? What pasuk did you learn today? And you have to know, in those days, they learned Tanakh. They didn't just learn Bereishis Bara Elokim. The kid can tell you any pasuk in the whole Tanakh, because the curriculum was to learn the whole Tanakh. So you stop a 6-year-old kid in the street, what did you learn today? He may tell you a pasuk in Mishlei. He may tell you a pasuk in Shoftim. He may tell you a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Who knows what he's going to tell you? And he would tell you the pasuk he learned today. That is the way of Hashem speaking to you and telling you an answer to your dilemma. To your dilemmas. Doesn't that sound great? Wouldn't that be a great thing? The only problem is we don't have children today, they don't learn Tanakh.
Did Haman ask Yeshiva Chosen questions?
What?
Did they say Haman ask?
Yes, yeah, the Goyim did this also. The Goyim did this, you're right. Even the Goyim would ask Jewish children, "What did you learn today?" And they took that as a communication from above. So Rabbi Yochanan said to his nephew, "What did you learn today?" And he said to him, "I learned the pasuk in Chumash, Aser te Aser, Eis kol tivuas zarecha." So he said to him, Aser, so he understood, so Rabbi Yochanan took this as a sign, it's time to go into business. I'm going to make an investment. So Rabbi Yochanan told the child, "Oh, if that's what you learned, it must be I should give a lot of tzedakah today. I should at least tithe my produce. Aser b'shvil shetis asher." He told this to the child. "Wow, you told me this pasuk. That's a Simon Hashemayim. I should go home, make sure I've given all the grain, 10% of the grain in my silo. I better make sure I give it to the local Levi. I must make sure of this." He told this to the child. So the child said, "What? How do you know? How do you know that by giving 10% you're going to get rich?" So Rabbi Yochanan said to the child, this whole conversation comes from this Gemara, he said, "Test, why don't you try it? Test Hashem. Do you have any, I don't know." Now this is a little bit bizarre because the child doesn't have any grain. You can't assume that the child has a field and has produce, which we'll get to our discussion in a few moments. So go test. I'll show you. Go. You'll see. If you'll test Hashem, you're going to see. So the child was very smart. And the child said, "You're allowed to test Hashem." But they taught us in Cheder, "Loi sinasu es Hashem. Loi sinasu es Hashem. Kasher nisisin b'maso." You're not allowed to test Hashem. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "This is the exception." Uvichonuni no bezois. Okay, that's what it all comes from, this dialogue between Rabbi Yochanan and a child who happened to be his nephew. There's no doubt in my mind that there's a lot of background to this story that we are missing. And it could be that we're missing to the degree that we really don't know. It's totally lost. There's obviously more going on here. There's a story. What's the background? Rabbi Yochanan and his nephew? Come on, there's something a lot more going on. Unfortunately, due to two to the Churban, a lot of this type of information has been lost from us, and it's a chaval. Because the same way I told you, all the years I learned Gemara, I never knew the difference between Rav and Shmuel. I had no clue and nothing, not geography.
You have to sign in to speak to someone.
Okay, not geography, not history, and if you don't know the geography and the history and the background, you know you're really lost. And when it comes to a story like this, which has so much. It's not for nothing that these people are involved in the story. Unfortunately, there's a lot missing. It's not just missing. If we knew the background, it would change the halacha. It would definitely give us greater insight into what the bottom line is. Now, here are the major issues in this topic. Number one is, this pasuk literally is describing, giving you permission to test Hashem. No one can deny that. No one could deny what the Gemara says. That Rabbi Yochanan Paskin Halacha L'Maisa, you're allowed to test Hashem, you're allowed to challenge Hashem, hold Hashem accountable to see if He's going to give you Bracha Ad Belidai more than what you give Him. You're allowed to do that. The dilemma, though, among all the Paskim is the Pasuk is only said regarding grain. Does this Halacha apply giving Maiser Kisofim? Now we have a principle, which is itself a topic, which we'll talk about in a moment. If a person brings home a paycheck, you have a job, you bring home a paycheck, you pay your taxes, okay? You pay your, you know, transportation, taxes, all of your expenses, and then you're left over with a sum of money. Today's day and age, there's nothing much left. But make believe you work hard, and you come home with a paycheck, you give away the taxes, you deduct your expenses, and you have a sum of money. So there's a principle called Maiser Kisofim. Where does that halacha come from? This same pasuk. This same pasuk of Aser to Aser, it's a drasha, that a person should give 10% of what he earns to charity.
If he pays off his rent.
I told you that. No. Yes. After,
whatever's left, you may have nothing left.
I told you. I said that. There's nothing really. I told you that.
I thought it was before that.
It's not so simple. There are many opinions. There are many opinions regarding this matter. What goes into the calculation? Taxes certainly does not go into the calculation.
But a lot of taxes is social programs.
You've already given the stalker, right? You're right. You're saying very good. You're asking very good questions. I do not know the answer, and there really is no answer to a lot of these questions. There are many, many variables. There are many situations. It's an impossible question to answer because there are many different circumstances, and everyone is in different category, different world. You're right. There is no answer.
A lot of people live on Section 8.
Right. So exactly 100. They're not people. They're not making money. 100%. If the government gives you Social Security, you have to give them Social Security 10%. No, not really. Okay, there are many, many questions. Let's put that, that's not our topic. There is a principle. Let's talk about it theoretically. A person has a good job. You work hard, you make money, you give your taxes, you put away whatever it is, and then you're left over with a nice amount of money. And you put it away in your savings account. Okay? After all of your expenses are done, okay? You put the money in your savings account. So there's a halacha, aser to aser. This comes from a sifrei. It is quoted by Tosfos. The sifrei means the Medrash halacha on Chumash Bamidbar and Chumash Devarim. It's called Medrash halacha. Tosfos quotes this sifrei on this pasuk, which says, whatever you earn in your bank, cash. We're not talking about grain. We're talking about earn money, you have an obligation to give 10% of what you earn to charity. Now, you're not giving it to the Levi. You only give the Levi grain. No one ever said you give a Levi cash. No such thing. You don't give a Levi cash. You were talking about earning. Yet there's no agriculture. There's no grain. You work in high tech. You're a computer programmer. You bring home a paycheck. The sifrei Tosfos quotes a Sifrei, which is Medrash Halacha, you must give 10% of your income after everything is said and done to charity. You pick what kind of charity. That's another topic. You give to poor people, you want to give to Keren Hashvi'is, you want to go give to the local yeshiva, you want to give to Yeshul, I don't know. You want to give to a kollel? That's another topic. What is called charity? When you give charity, 10%, there's a major, major debate among the Achrayim. Is this principle of the Sifrei, is this a halacha, the oraisa? Is it a halacha de rabbanon? Or is it a custom, a minhag? So some of the Achrayim, I can't remember all the names we have all written down over here, but some say it's mamish, a halacha, it's halacha. Does anyone say it's deraisa? I don't think so. Maybe someone says that it's deraisa, which means you have a biblical obligation, aser ta'aser, to give 10% of your of what's in your savings for the year to give the charity. Some say, no, this is not a deraisa, chas v'shom, it's a derabanan. But a derabanan is a pretty serious matter. And many, almost kamad, the vast majority of the Achrayim say, it's not a derabanan. It's only a custom. You know what the proof is? It's a very, very funny proof. It's a it's mamash hilarious what the proof is. This is what the Chassam Sofer says this. He says, it can't be, who really does this today? This is what I think the Chassam said. How many people today, after they earn and they have money put away in their savings account, how many people give 10% to charity? He writes, Echad, one from a mishpacha, one or two people. like I've got the exact nusach, but you're not going to find too many people giving away. Oh, so that's the Chavos Yoris says, not the Chassam Sofer. I made a mistake. He says Echad meir ushnayim mishpacha. Go ask the IRS. What do people give to charity? 10% of their savings. 10%. After you pay, you earn, you pay taxes, you pay all of your expenses, whatever this means, whatever, there are different ways to make this calculation, whatever, but let's say you have at the end of the day money that you're going to take that chunk of money and you're going to put it under your mattress. How much of your mattress do you have to go give to tzedakah? However you want to define tzedakah. 10%. How many do this? A very, very small amount of people. Very few people do this. So the Chavos Yoher writes, the fact that almost no one does this cannot be that the majority of Klal Yisrael are Bali Avera. If the halach of Aser to Aser is either a biblical mitzvah or is a rabbinic mitzvah, mitzvah de Rabbanan, the Jerusha is so ironclad. It is etched in stone. It's like wearing tefillin. Everyone wears tefillin every single day. People would jump off the Washington Bridge if they missed the day of putting on tefillin. Okay? Now you can't even put up a fence. But people put on tefillin. You're not going to miss a day without wearing tefillin. You're not going to go put something in your mouth unless you make a bracha. Because that's the halacha for an Orthodox Jew. If this is the halacha that you must give 10%, it cannot be that everyone in Klal Yisrael is in blatant violation of this halacha. He writes, the Chavos Yoher says, listen, that's the facts. The facts are, no one goes around making calculations and asking Rabbanim how to calculate the cheshbon of what I owe to 10% to give tzedakah. No one does this, because people don't do it. They don't do it for a variety of reasons. They're not so machlik. If you're going to tell me that it's a halacha, the sifrei is to be taken literally, that it's mamash halacha, aser ta aser, that you must do it, it cannot be that Klal Yisrael are avaryonim, they're sinners, and they just ignore this mitzvah. Can't be. It therefore has to be like what everyone else says, that the mitzvah of aser ta aser is a minog toif. It is a good thing to do, but it's not an obligation. It's not an obligation, you don't have to do it, but it's certainly something. Therefore, that's why we find people say, listen, I have a lot of other things in my life that need attention, and this thing of giving all my money for tzedakah is not one of them. I'll give tzedakah, but I can't go give away 10% because there's not too much to give away from. Mm-hmm. People have all the different reasons why they're not. So therefore, the vast majority of the Achrayim said that this inyan of giving 10% of your income to tzedakah is a minhag tov, but it's not an obligation. Okay, now let's go backwards now. We started off before. We have a principle from Yochanan. Uvichonuni no bezoitz yomar Hashem imloy eftach lechem hashemayim varikos lechem brocha ad bolidai. You're allowed to test Hashem. The pasuk is said regarding aser to aser grain. By extension, we want to apply this rule. Do we apply this rule of being permitted to test Hashem regarding giving tzedakah from cash, from giving tzedakah? Does the same rule apply in that case? So here we have very big disagreement among all of the Achronim if it applies to earning money. In other words, if you earn money, and now you have that 10, you put away money in the bank, you put in the savings, and now, okay, make a calculation. This is the 10% that I feel upon which the minhag tov applies to. I've worked, I got my paycheck, paid my taxes, paid my expenses, paid everything off, and now I'm left over with this amount of money. Let's make believe it's $100. I'm putting it away in the savings account. There's $10. Okay, $10. I'm now going to be mekayim the mitzvah of the sifrei, medrash halacha, aser to aser. I'm giving this $10 to charity. Do I have a right to say, ribbono shel olam, I'm giving 10%, aser to aser. I'm writing this down. Let's see, Hashem, if you pay me back. Let's see if you're going to do your part, from this $10 I'm about to give right now. I'm challenging you. I'm challenging Hashem. If this was grain, and you give it to the Levi, the 10%, you can say that to Hashem. It's explicit in the Talmud. It doesn't get better than this. Rabbi Yochanan said to the Yenuka, you're allowed to test Hashem, aser to aser. Question. Can you also pose this challenge to Hashem regarding the 10% of your income, in our example, that you're putting in the savings, that you're putting in the savings $100, I'm now going to write out a check of $10 to Ezra's Torah. I want to see if I'm going to get back more than $10. I want to see if you, Hashem, are going to open up the heavens very close, lechem barucha ad bolidai. Are you allowed to test Hashem, or are you in violation of sinasu oisi kasher nisisim b'masa? That's question number one. Question number two. Let's say you're permitted. Let's say you are permitted, because aser to aser is all part. It's all part of the bracha. It's all part of the halacha of aser to aser. It's all part of. You know, even though the pasuk says grain, the literal pasuk, but being that the Chazal also make a drasha of aser, it's the sifrei. So, why should there be a difference? When Rabbi Yochanan applied this rule to aser, it applies also to the other drasha. Okay, very good. Let's say it's not 10%; it's just general tzedakah. It's not earned income. It's general tzedakah. I have money put away. I didn't earn this money now this year. The money has been put away in a trust. I inherited wealth. That's not called aser to aser. Aser to aser is only in reference to earned income. You have sitting around, let's say a Yerusha. It's been there for time immemorial. We're not talking about it was invested and it went up in value. Let's talk, there was no investments. It was just cash sitting around somewhere, or you have assets. You know what? I'm going to take one of my assets and I own a building somewhere. You know what? I'm going to give the building to a yeshiva. I have real estate all over the world. You know what? The building is sitting there collecting dust. Okay, it's locked up. You know what? This building, it's $1 million building. You know what? This yeshiva, the opening of a yeshiva, they need a building. You can have the building. That's called general tzedakah. Can you test Hashem on general tzedakah? So there are three questions. There are three different categories. That's the point I'm trying to make. There is the category of testing Hashem regarding giving grain to the Levi. Question number two, earned income. The halacha is, or the minhag tov is, to give 10% of your earned income to charity. And it is derived from the very same pasuk of aser to aser. Question number three. It's not included in the pasuk of aser to aser at all, because aser to aser discusses earned income, you give 10%. But there's a mitzvah of giving tzedakah. There's a general mitzvah, b'chol ha'tarah kula, to give tzedakah. If I have assets and I give away my assets to charity, can I extend the principle of aser to aser to general tzedakah? One is, of course, the grain, of course, to a Levi, which doesn't apply b'zman hazeh, because we don't give anyway trumas ma'isrus, but the other two are very much applied b'zman hazeh. And this is big, without going through all the different names, we can spend a lot of time going through all the different opinions, but basically, no, they do not. They do not do Ma'is Lev in Eretz Yisrael. They don't give Levim anything in Eretz Yisrael. They just destroy it. They just set it aside. And this basically, what? No, because the Levi has to give from a Trumas Ma'aser. The Levi has to take from the 10% that you give him. He has to take out of that truma. Okay, I don't know. We have to, Eretz Hashem, go clarify all the ways in Eretz Yisrael, how they do things in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, they redeem it. What they do is, like, it's nogei halacha lemaisa. Let's say you buy fruits, Golan fruits. Over here on Coney Island, there's a store down they sell Israeli fruits. So were they already mafris, trumos, and maisras? There's a story here in Eretz Yisrael. Even Eretz Yisrael, you gotta be careful. So I'm not so sure the mafresh should they get the import Israeli products, and I'm not so sure the mafresh should people, when they buy from that store, they have to do it on their own. So what do you do? You take a small amount of the food. There's a nusach, and then you basically discard it. You throw it in the garbage. You discard it neatly, right? Not b'derech b'zayon. And you're asking a question, why don't you give it to the Levi? The Kohen you can't give it to, because it has to be Tahar. So what about the Levi? The Levi does not need to be Tahar. Ma'isa Sheni, Ma'isa Ani, why don't, Ma'isa Sheni you're not going to do, obviously, because you're not going to bring it to Eretz Yisrael. They're not going to let you in. They you come into the customs, you have any food in your bag? You have fruit? They're not going to let you in Eretz Yisrael. They're very makbid. You come into Eretz Yisrael. If they stop you.
If you stop.
They always stop me. I am. Always they interrogate me. Into everywhere they always. I don't know what is. Do I look like a terrorist? In all the airports, they take me aside. They look at my passport. It's mamish, like they're waiting for me. My sister said the same thing to me. Like, I don't understand. Every stop of the way, even when you line, they ask you, what's the parashas hashavua when you line up?
Yeah.
Even now they see my passport. Come with me. Huh. What am I on a terrorist list?
They say come with me.
Sometimes, yeah. Wow. And they take me and they say and they.
I had that once.
What's going on here? Every stop of the way, and like it's almost like they're waiting for this guy to come.
Why don't you ever ask them?
I don't want, because I'm afraid. Because the very you ask them too many questions, the mamash, I feel that they'll arrest you. Like what did I do over here? I'm on a terrorist list. What did I do to anyone over here? What I look like, they always look at me. And even when I went back, this I could not get a load of. I went, there was the TSA when I was going back in Eretz Yisrael, you put your hand luggage through the machine. Yeah. There was a Haredi. That was manning the, a big yarmulke. And he was looking with the X-ray machine. I put my baggage there. What do I got in my bag? I got nothing in there. What do I got in there? I got nothing there. And I put my bag in there, and he wouldn't let out of the machine. Back and forth. And each time back and forth, he looks at me.
Oh my God.
What in the world is going on? It has to be that my name is on some terrorist list. There's no other way. There's no other way. I'm almost afraid to go traveling. This happens all the time. And I'm afraid to go. I'm going to ask, oh, you're a wise guy. You're a wise guy. You're asking questions.
You're right. If you ask questions, they may lock you up, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel. I really feel threatened. I don't know what's going on. Something's going on over here. In any event, going back to our discussion, there's a machlokes, there's a big machlokes, there are different opinions regarding this matter. There are some of the Gedolei Yisrael hold that you're allowed to challenge Hashem even on ordinary tzedakah. Ordinary tzedakah, we're not talking about earned income, you give money, you have a building, you have this, you have that, you give money that's not part of earned income, even that, you're allowed to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu, uvichanunina bezois, ad kidei kach. Okay, now by the way, the interesting Bach over here says, the interesting Nusach, why did Hashem make such an exception to allow a person to challenge Hashem? So he says, because Hashem is asking from you something that is over the top. Think about it. How could it be you give away your hard-earned money that you labored and sweated over to a person you never saw before, you don't know who he is, because the Torah tells you to do it? That's an extremely major sacrifice. When the Torah tells you to take a lulav and esrog, it's my lulav, it's my esrog, I'm doing your mitzvah Hashem. Most of the mitzvahs that we do, they're selfish. And we do mitzvahs. You eat food, you make a bracha. There's always something to get out of it. Giving away money, you get nothing out of it. This is the Bach. He's explaining just a svara. Why is it, b'chol taryag mitzvahs, don't you dare challenge Hashem? Loi senasu es Hashem. Don't challenge Hashem. It's Hashem's world. He calls the shots. You'll never understand how this world works. It's not for you to go and demand answers. Tzadik v'raloi, Rasha, v'toivlo. Yet, when it comes to money, when it comes to charity, when I give the Levi 10%, when I give, according to some opinions, when I have earned income, I give away 10%, ma'isek sofim, which lahalach is not an obligation, it's a minak toiv to do, it's a good thing to do, it should be done, but it's not an obligation, you're not going to be punished if you don't do it. And giving just stam tzedakah, taking money you have put away and giving it as charity, you can go and you can say to Hashem, so the Bach says, yeah, it makes a lot of sense why Hashem would permit you to do this, because what are you getting out of this? You know, you get some covet. Covet is make-believe. It's imaginary covet. What are they giving you out of it? You're giving away your money to people who have not worked for it, have not lifted a finger to deserve this. They're in a situation that you feel they need it. You need to help people. You want to make a yeshiva. You want to give money to a kollel. You want to give money to poor people who don't have what to eat. What do they do to earn, to deserve your hard-earned money, which will be gone in 1 second? It's quite a sacrifice. And Hashem says, when a person makes in this world such a sacrifice, that's right, you deserve it. You deserve it. It's an extreme thing that you have done, and therefore Hashem says, I feel it is my duty to reciprocate. He's just giving a little bit of a hesber. Okay, now let's go further. So, we've discussed so far Aser to Aser, the Gemara. We've discussed the different categories of tzedakah, if you wear you out the different opinions, different levels, and we've discussed aser to aser, the makar of giving maaser kesafim. Now let's discuss a different category, just for a few moments, almost out of time. The category of, are you allowed to take money from a Gentile? Are you allowed to take money from? No, not mice. Not talking about mice now. We're talking about general taking money from two categories. Only three categories.
Not a gift,
A goy, right? You're not allowed to give money to a goy ordinarily, under ordinary circumstances. Lo sichonim. Lo siten lehem matana sholchina.
China. What about
tzedakah? Oh, so let us break that. Everything, when everything is said and done, there is no answer to any question. Okay? But let's at least appreciate the variables. The variables. Okay? We only have 2 minutes. Let me believe the variables. And some of it is in Shulchan Aruch, but even when it says in Shulchan Aruch, many people say it's not necessarily applicable b'zman hazeh for a variety of reasons. Number one, first of all, giving money to a guy, we're not discussing that. Are you allowed to give tzedakah to a guy?
Tzedakah?
Are you allowed to give money to build a church? They come and they want, we're building a beautiful church. Can you give a donation to the church? That is awesome, no matter what. Okay? Are you allowed to give, you don't want to give money, but can you at least donate the chandelier in the church. We'll put your name on it.
What about the social program? Do you want to get the first
store? Oh, okay. That's not the church. Talking about the church itself.
The church has a kitchen and they serve
food. No, that's called tzedakah. That's not the church. The church is only the sanctuary. Okay, you're not allowed to give money. You're not allowed to give money for the upkeep of the sanctuary to pay the priest's salary. That you're not allowed to give. Okay, don't give for the priest. Give us. Buy us.
Are you allowed to sell men a Shabbat's wine to the church?
If they're going to use it for the service, no.
How do you know?
So they, if you don't know, it's mutter. You don't know what they're buying it for. Maybe they'll drink it. They'll drink this. Okay, that's. I don't want to get. What is this more basic? Okay, I don't want this. Giving money to a goy is also lo sichonim. You're not allowed to give a goy a matana shulchinam unless there's mishum eva. Today we're in a society where there's always going to be eva. So you basically. People that you see, that people that are very wealthy, they give to the museums.
Yeah,
they give to crazy mishagasim. No, put from shomer Torah mitzvos, and they have to, because they're involved in a society of ultra wealthy people. And if you're not going to go give to the Metropolitan Museum of Art $1 million, they're not going to go give to your yeshiva $1 million. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. That's the way it works. So you see ultra multi-millionaires giving money to the craziest things you ever thought of, and you say to yourself, Gevalt, he gave $1 million, this guy who shomer Torah mitzvos, to the preservation of dog rights, of cat. Are you out of your mind? Don't be choish at him so quickly. You don't know that by him giving $1 million to some mishagas, that brings in to the Orthodox community $10 million. Okay, there's a lot of that goes on behind that you don't understand. Today it's a very complicated world. You can't generalize. Let's not talk about giving. Let's talk about taking. Are you allowed to? Now, first of all, here's a very important insight. There's a difference between soliciting money and where the guy comes to you. It's a very big difference. If it's one thing where, let's say, a Gentile knocks on your door and says, I'm so impressed with you guys. You guys are a community. It's unbelievable. I see the difference with the guy and you. I have a lot of money. I want a chelik. I want to be part of this. I want to give $1 million to the yeshiva. I didn't ask you to give me the money. The guy comes to you. The guy comes to you and says, I want to give money because I really appreciate what's going on over here. Or maybe he has ulterior motives. Maybe he has whatever it is. He comes to you. That's one category. Then there's another category. Can we make an appointment with you? Can we meet with you in a restaurant? Can we get together and you sit down with them and you solicit money from goyim for different purposes? These two categories are worlds apart. They're worlds apart. Although more often than not, it is forbidden to solicit funds from Gentiles because of different halachic reasons. We're out of time. But if they come to you and they want to give and you never ask them to give, that much more often than not takes on an entirely different nature where there are much, much more leniencies.
So you're not. The UJA or the Jewish Federation can't accept money from Goyim?
The UJA, here's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch it says you can accept from them money for, it's a strange halach it sounds to us, but this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, for a Beis HaKnesses. If a Goy wants to give money to build a shul, or to, I guess, pay the salaries of a shul, of a Beis HaKnesses, it is permitted. But if a guy wants to give money to support poor people, charity, social programs, now technically, you should not take the money from them. Oh, you would think the opposite, right? But that's exactly the place they struggle to explain to you why it's not so. When a guy comes to give money to support a shul, this is an acknowledgement that they acknowledge. It's considered in halacha to be a kavod shem shemayim. The goyim are acknowledging v'haya Hashem lemelech al kol aretz. By them giving money to a Beis HaKnesses, this is their way of being machnia themselves to the Jewish people. You have a temple, you have provide services. Says Shulchan Aruch, if a guy on his own gifts, to go ask them to give is a little bit more problematic. But that's also mutter, according to some opinions, if there's no other way to get the money. But if a guy comes and gives money to a Beis HaKnesses, this is v'chayyo Hashem lemelech al koretz bayim uya Hashem echad shmechad. Absolutely. With a carbon, so it's no different, correct. If a guy wants to put his name on something, like that, so certainly when the guy wants to go give money in general, let's say I want my name on the parochas. The guy says, I want on the parochas, it should say John Doe. I want my name on the parochas. That's a little more problematic, but not necessarily usher. Because a goy is allowed to give money to a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaMedrash, to a mokoyim, a public mokoyim. It is viewed in halacha as almost like a Mashiach has come. Let's say he wants to give money to the soup kitchen, to the social services, for poor people who don't have what to eat. No, this is technical halacha. Halacha l'maisa, when the day is over, you take whatever you can get. Okay, I told you that. For a variety of reasons, the end's always going to find a heter. So but technically, what?
The government gives money to Masbiya.
A government is an entirely new category in and of itself. Excellent. The government, when a government gives money, so you can, in London, you can say it's Jewish money, because Jews pay taxes. How is all the taxes divided? They're going to say that all the money, the Jewish money, went to buy F-35s that are now parked in Afghanistan. They took them out of Afghanistan. Is that no? The Jews pay money for taxes, so you can say theoretically all the money that the Jews gave to pay taxes is going to support Lakewood, because the government gives an enormous amount of money to Jewish causes because that's the law. Lakewood, you know, Lakewood has exploded to such a degree. The government had to spend astronomical amount of money for water, to build a new major water system, pipes, to just bring in enough water for the infrastructure of Lakewood. Do you know how much money the government paid to create this water system, to bring in water? I remember the numbers are astronomical. They don't have a choice. If they live in the country,
hundreds of new houses that are paying real estate taxes. Now there was just forest before, so they're getting more income.
So what are you going to say? Well, Jews pay taxes also. Okay, there's some very rich Jews out there that are paying. The money is divided equally. So the money that the Jews are paying went to go put man on the moon. The government gives an enormous amount of money to go to the moon. They're spending trillions of dollars, whatever they're spending on this. So who's to say? Well, there is such a principle in halacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes all the money, and depending on your kavana, it's as if money that was given with sincerity goes for holy purposes. And money that's given, that comes from Geneva, stolen money, goes for Narishkeit, goes to waste. Hashem has his calculations. So there's a principle that when government gives money to Jews for any purpose whatsoever, there's much, much more room for leniency. Because the truth is, part of that money was collected from Jews. But let's say the money is coming from private funds. So generally, if they give money, this is technical halacha, they give money for Beis HaKnesses, it's permitted. But if they give money to feed poor people, it's aser. Why? It's a chilul Hashem. Like we learned in the morning today, that oh, look, you're poor, you don't have what to eat. You need us to feed you. Wow. It's a chilul Hashem that we should be fed by Gentiles. It's a chilul Hashem, and also another svar is you're giving them zuchusim. You're giving them incredible merit. That this is the who is punished for this? I think Daniel. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, what should I do? When Nebuchadnezzar realized that he's in a lot of trouble, he told Nebuchadnezzar, he told him, support the poor people, give tzedakah, create a welfare program for the goyim, not even for the Jews. The goyim make, however, there was no welfare until Daniel, you know, the one that really gets credit for welfare, social security, is Daniel. Daniel ish chamudos. Why is he chamud? Well, he's the makar for all social programs in the world. There was no such thing as a social program in the world until Daniel came along. Nebuchadnezzar would give a poor man one penny. You have a person who's over, who can't work anymore, let him die. Who cares about him? Get lost. Daniel said, no. Nebuchadnezzar was terrified he's going to die because he realized the chait that he did. In the Sefer Daniel, we learned this. So he said, what should I do? So he told him, bitstaka peroik. You know what you should do? Welfare. You should make, you want a zechus to stay alive, support the poor people. That was a novelty in the world. Such an idea that a government, Nebuchadnezzar was a government. He was an institution, a world institution. He went and he started a welfare program. Never happened before in the history of the world. And whose idea was it? It was Daniel. But Daniel was punished for this because Daniel, he gave Nebuchadnezzar a zechus, and he was a Rasha Merusha. He did enormous damage to Klal Yisrael. Hashem has it in for him, and he gave him a zechus, and his punishment was delayed because he has zechus. So by letting a goy support a Jew, they're giving them zechusim, which is not a good thing. Halacha lemaisa, there are only 1,000 heterim. Number one, if the money is given bitzina, if the money is given, it's not public knowledge, which today is not really possible. Maybe it is, I don't know, different ways of doing things, then it's mutter. If the money is mixed together with Jewish money, you collect from Goyim and Jews, so when you pay, when you support Maspia, you put, it's a combination. It's a combination of Goyish money, Jewish money. So
if you put a red kettle outside,
so who puts the money inside? Jews and non-Jews put the money inside. So the money is not explicitly, it's not miyuchad that it's goyish money that also takes away from the chil Hashem. Now also, I don't know how far you can say this. Now there's another big topic which is out of time, and that is taking money from irreligious Jews. So generally, an irreligious Jew that gives money to support poor people is always mutter. You have an irreligious Jew who did the worst avaris in the world. Okay, the worst avaris in the world you could possibly imagine, and he gives money for a soup kitchen. Take the money lechatchila. Chazal say Yisrael shechoto, aval pi shechoto Yisrael. You're allowed lechatchila to take money from the chalal Shabbos and bali avera, the worst of the worst, to support poor people. Jew giving money to support a Jew is always good, no matter where the money came from, no matter what they did, as long as the money is not, and it's not osir. And I'm not talking about money that's gezel. That we're not discussing. But here's the irony. A Jew who's a mechallel Shabbos b'farhesia, was a mummer who has converted to Christianity or any other religion, who wants to give money for a shul, you're not allowed to take. You're not allowed to take money from a mummer, a Yisrael mummer for a baseline. A goy you can. Isn't that amazing? A goy, the church wants to give a shul $100 donation. The church. We want to give the Beis HaKnesses $100 donation. On the check, there's a tzelem. On the check, there's a tzelem. You can take the money because you're under hate. But if a Jew who's a mummer, who goes to that church, a Jew goes to that church, wants to give you $100, no thank you. You're a disgrace to us. We don't want your money.
Yeah,
we don't want your money. But you want to give the money, you want to give the money to a poor people for the social hall, for our soup kitchen, yeah, that will take. Because it'll be a zechus for you. No, a Beis Yaakov not. A Beis Yaakov is like a shul, chinuch habanim, a Beis Yaakov, it seems not. It seems not. Now today they're going to tell you. Today they're going to tell you. You can take money from anyone. Why? Everyone is together at tinoik shenishba. Okay. Or they're going to tell you it's bitsina. I told you. What I'm telling you now, unfortunately, is not practical. I'm telling you the ikar hadin. There's going to be many, many heterim for every type of situation. Every mechal shalom has a thing shenishba. The money, it's bitsina. The money, it's meudav with other money. It's not miyuchid.
Yeah, but they still don't want
it. You're gonna have. So it depends if you can. It depends on your standards.
What's it called? Kuji.
It depends. Look, Rabbi Mandel from Yeshiva Brooklyn. There are some very famous stories. I don't know if they would be doing do it. I don't know if they would do it today. What he did in those days. In those days, he built an institution. I don't want to take a penny from anything that's not 100% pure. Today in Torah Yeshiva, they follow the same. I doubt it. It's hard to believe anyone today can follow such high standards because you'll go down the drain in 2 minutes. On the other hand, the B'nai Yisrael, I'll leave with this, he says a very frightening, well, I'm very sorry, he says very frightening, he says, you take money that comes from not good sources, it causes the people who benefit to have bad midos. Midos rois. Stolen money, he says, the Menachem Elul says, yeah, look, he says, what's going on here? These kindalach, they come to yeshiva, kindalach, they say, Yamein, Yehei, Shmei, Rabba, they shuckle, they learn, they masmidim, they know everything, and they grow up. They become horrible people. So Rav Nachum El Mirimnov, I'm not saying this, it's going back over hundreds of years. It's a Kaddish. Yes, you know why? Because the money that they gave for tuition was stolen money. And the stolen money, even though, yeah, they're saying, Yehei Shmei Rabba, everything is fine and good, there's a principle that the makor of the money is mashpia upon the recipient of that money. And even though now you don't see it, it takes root and it blossoms. And 20 years from now, the midos rois come forth if the money is not pure. That's a very scary principle. That's not a halacha. You can't tell me it's a halacha. It's a midos chasidus. No, it depends. You know, every situation is different. How desperate are you? If you have a whole bunch of people waiting for their paychecks and you're really, really down and out, what are you going to do? You're not going to, I would give him the first one. What are you going to do? But people who are, you know, holy people, they're very sensitive. Okay, I'll over time. Thank you for listening. Wonderful day. Amen. Although it's a very challenge, many could share a very good person and